Hi, everyone. Welcome to the TimingResearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 149 for February 9th, 2021. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com. And today we're going to be discussing your trade ideas from the survey that I sent out this morning. So today I've arranged for Michael Filigera to be back, and you should be seeing his screen right now. And the option professor is here to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay. Thanks a lot, David. And welcome, everybody. We've got a lot of great stocks on the list here. And maybe Michael or myself could throw out a few others as well, if we have the time. Michael, before we get started, a little background on yourself. What's going on at Logical Signals, just before we get started?
Okay. My name is Michael Filigera. And a little background on me. I started my illustrious career in trading in 1979 when I became a member of the Pacific Exchange Options Floor, and I started trading options. And I have traded options here in San Francisco on the PCX. I've traded options in the London traded options market, the European Options Exchange in Amsterdam, and also the DTB, which is the German electronic bourse. Returned back to the United States in 1997 and returned to the Pacific Exchange and hung out there for the end of the first internet bubble bursting. And it was quite exciting, but the market started to really go more electronic in terms of options trading, and everybody started to leave the floor, including myself. And when algorithms really became the way of life for trading, I didn't like playing the volatility in the options, so I became a day trader in futures, and that is what I do now. At Logical Signals, I've incorporated within a larger site that we're continuing to build out, and that is Traders Helping Traders. And on there, we're looking to begin to offer daily analysis, which takes time to get it going, some podcasts, and then also we've included some other people that have also analysis and some other things that they want to share. And hopefully we're going to build that out even more with people that have written indicators, et cetera, et cetera. And right now I am basically just doing some analysis, and I still trade, thinking about possibly restarting a trade room in a manner, so a trade room like place, and then also coaching.
Okay, sounds great. And at the end of the broadcast, you can let everybody know how to get a hold of you. Let's start out with Virgin Galactic. That's the first one on the list, SPCE. Obviously, it's been a real barn burner to the upside. What are you seeing here now?
It's been a real barn burner, but you can see that this thing for years, well, not really years, but for quite a while, just sat absolutely flat. And then when there became an interest in space and Virgin Galactic started to get that the space capsule or whatever they were building that could actually fly up into orbit and then return, then we saw things really start to take off. The market itself, if I really had to say, this pattern, which is again the weekly pattern, is just, and so far it's like a three-wave pattern up, which is not portending to some really good longer term. And but I'm going to run a quick Fibonacci number on this to see what we get. And here, this is all very interesting. So that's from the pre-COVID high down to the March 2020 lows. And we saw that this thing really did a pretty nasty collapse from 42 down to 9. That was a very nasty collapse. And so it's already rallied back all of that. But look where it got to yesterday or last week. It reached up to the Fibonacci resistance at 1.618. Now, for an extended rally, that's not, it is very typical for it to get to that level. But if it starts to exceed that level, we can continue to work extensions. But the weekly chart is pushing into overbought. I would say that this thing looks like it's going to start to correct unless it really starts to make money.
I'm looking at the short interest. It's still pretty big at 16.5% of the stock, but those moving averages in the 50 and the 200 day are in the low 30s and low 20s. And we hit 62 last week. So that 62 is not a bad line in the sand unless they've got some more gasoline to throw on the fire.
I agree. And here's another interesting thing, because I'm mentioning the moving averages. Right now, the moving averages continue to be beautifully lined up. All are pointing higher. So this is a great formation for a continued rally.
Right.
So what I really, again, would be looking for, if this, if it has reached a top and it's now going to start to either pull back or just come down, I'm going to go down to my hourly chart. And like we discussed before, I start to look for a five-wave pattern down. And you can see it's double topped. That disqualifies all that. So initially, I'm going to say on my hourly chart, I bet you it comes back down maybe to the 100-day moving average, possibly down to this, which will be support at 50.35, but ultimately down towards that 200. That would complete a very nice ABC down. This, though, is in the way. It should not be just moving sideways. So I continue to feel that this stock, if it's going to break down, it needs to move below 53.60 and then 50.35, and that should start to put it into motion to continue to drop. Otherwise, it should continue to rally. Because again, going back out to that weekly, everything's pointing up.
All right, let's turn to some of these stocks that have been in the news here. We'll look at the first one here. BB is BlackBerry, coming out of the dead here from $2.70, 52-week low, to as high as $28.77. Right. Volume today over 21 million shares, so they're obviously still playing the game.
Yes.
But obviously the game has turned south a little bit. Huh?
It has, and that was, I think, right off of the earnings that they must have reported last month, but I don't know if they've So I don't know if they've actually reported yet. We still have some, but you're right. The bloom is off the rose, so to speak, on this one. And what I, again, we're in an opposite position in terms of moving averages. There, you've got the 200, the 100 is below the 200, the 50 is below that, the 20 is below that, starting to turn up because the shorter term moving averages, like the 20, the 8 or the 10 day, whichever you use, and even the 50 is kind of showing a little bit of a perk. The others remain absolutely flat, pretty much, to slightly ticking lower. So I would not like BlackBerry. I would not really want to be long BlackBerry. And I might even be looking, you know, if I was going to buy the stock, I'd be being put underneath it.
Yeah, two things that come off right now is the moving averages on this one is $9.50 and $6 on the 50 and 200 day. And the volume has been averaging 64 million shares in the last 50 days. And today it only traded 21. So I don't know if that means it's raw. But do you see any potential for a 1-2-3 formation if we got above 15 that it might get back on the bicycle?
I
see a rally towards 15 or so and then a pull back now to 13 and change. So if we were to take out the...
If I look at the hourly, it's got this nice clean little, what looks like an ABC down, which would suggest that we do another five up, and that should very likely carry it to that 15 area. But your stochastic and momentum is certainly taking it in that direction. But here's what's working against it. Here are the hourly. Let me just open this up a little bit so we can see it. Look at all these moving averages. That's the 200. Flat as a pancake. Flat as a pancake. 50. Flat as a pancake. That's sideways. That's telling me sideways.
And sometimes after a market has a big move, comes back down, then goes dead in the water for a while.
Yeah, and that may be the case. But as it sits dead in the water, we can kind of see that, not that it's a great, a huge move, but, you know, down 14 cents, down 33 on the day. But when it sits sideways, no one wants to hold on.
Why don't we throw up Nokia, because that's also been in the news, and it was less than $5 a share, which means you can only lose less than $5 a share, you know?
What is Nokia these days?
N-O-K.
Oh, okay.
N-O-K.
Okay, it came up correctly. I thought it was
N-O-K. I hope it's not okay, but it's N-O-K.
Yeah, really, there you go. Let me just go, let's start here. Boy, they liked those earnings, didn't they? At least last month. They liked something last month. Maybe just the fact that
a lot of these are order imbalances from the, going after the short interest.
Okay.
That's what BlackBerry was all about, because they're all losing money. So, you know, these guys might not be, but BlackBerry's losing money.
It's not a very good looking chart, and I'm on the monthly. And once again, I've got everything lined up to go down. So this was a one hit wonder, and then everything came back. And interestingly enough, it went straight up to the 200. And
out of all of them, it seems like it has the most legitimate story with 5G coming, you know?
Yes, but I think there are far better players in the 5G space than this one. So, it's kind of, look at this though, and this is again on a monthly, so you could get a rally going in here. Let me drift down here to...
Well, at least it's close to sea level at $4, right?
Yeah, you know, right, it is. And here again, the indicators or the moving averages, that's the 100, the 200, and the 50 are flat as a pancake. So, and it's holding that little group there.
Yeah.
As long as that happens, and you see this is pretty much oversold on a daily basis, you could get a rally. And that rally, I would expect at least to get up here to the 8 to 10 day, not all that much. That's only $4.42. But ultimately, if these all start start to turn higher, it could be in a good position to rally a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if you think the company has a valid future, you know, when they get into the $10 or less, like Viacom got down to 10 and Freeport-McMoRan was under 10. Yeah. And if you think that they're not going away and they'll figure it out over time, you know, this is the time to put up almost like a long-term call option that never expires.
That's what's going to be my suggestion exactly. If you kind of feel that this could get some legs and it could get back to 10 bucks, go out to the leaps and see what you can put on. But again, the stock's pretty cheap.
And if they get something going, it could get going. Just like, you know, Freeport-McMoRan got the copper going, ergo you got going. What do you call it? Paramount's coming out with their own, Disney Plus-y type thing.
Shares of this stock for less than $1,000.
The next one up has been a monster, but it looks like it's a monster that's been distributing or accumulating between 700 and 750. This is Sherwin Williams, SHW.
Amazing. This one I actually looked at.
Yeah, it's a monster.
This is the daily, but I'm going to go out a little bit, see if there's a change on that. No. As you can see, it has truly been a monster. Take a look at this. This goes back to 2000, basically, or April of 2002, and it's been straight up. And, you know, of course, it's going to participate in that economic collapse that we had in 2008, 2009, no doubt. And then its biggest decline, that didn't even really take all that much out of the stock. Come up here and look at what COVID did to it. And now, again, that's because the stock is $550 higher. So, you know, the moves are going to look bigger. But that's the one where I placed my Fibonacci on to see what potential it had to the upside. And if I come back down off of this and go back to that daily, it got straight to it and it held it twice. And now it's starting to come off. So again, the moving averages are starting to turn, but they haven't. So it's still going to find support at this 200. And if it can hold the other Fibonacci support right below it, then you've got additional rally. But it's kind of frothy up here. I mean,
well, if it takes out that 675 area and then 650, that would be, you know,
it would be an area to kind of come in. But this is one where I don't know if you got a big enough account, you can go buy the stock itself. Yeah. But I would play options on this for sure. I'm sure there's enough volume and two-way volume so that you're not going to get stuck in a position. But there's a lot of things that you can consider here. If you think the stock is going to go, you can just do a call. If you think the stock can be limited, you can do a straddle. If you just think the stock is going to just sit in a range between now and say March to June, you can be looking at an iron condor. I don't know if I'd go that far because if I think that if the broader markets may start to pull back and pull back with some intensity, Sherwin Williams is not going to sit as the lone holdout. It'll go.
No.
It'll go.
At least it's not as extended as some of those other ones. 200-day average is around 650, 660. So
yes,
not too bad.
Yes, I agree with that. You know, so again,
I didn't know that paint was that profitable.
I know. They must have something else in their toolbox that they're working or selling.
Well, this is a company I think that makes money off of the online education business, Chegg, CHGG.
Yes.
And that one went from $25 to $111.95 today, but today it decided to go all the way back down to $102. So today was a little bit of a reverse, huh?
I saw that as well. And what I found interesting is the order flow pushed it up. I mean, and the thing that gets me, it's like, these are not like, it's not making a ton of money.
I see they're losing money.
Yeah. But so being above, I mean, this one, the latest one, it's like, it's only made 55 cents. I don't know what expectations were, but I'm like, you know, that's not a lot of money for a stock that sits over $100.
Right.
But again, all of the moving averages continue to point higher. So, and if you're negative on the stock, you kind of have to start to look to make sure it starts to break down below the 8-day, below the 20, starts to break below these support levels, which were resistance on the way up, support on the way down. And you'd actually have to really wait for it to break 90, 50. Starts breaking below that, party's over.
Yeah, you're at about 89 on your 50-day and 75 on the 200-day. So if things got a little dicey, it could be a $15 to $20 move on the downside, $25 move on the downside.
Even more, but yes. And again, if it participates with the NASDAQ, because it kind of almost has the same feel to it in terms of, you know, what it does, but then I would be expecting a lot further.
Short interest is still 11%, so there's a decent amount of shorts out there, but the volume today of over 5 million is a heck of a lot more than the 50-day average of 1.6 million. So when you go up to make a new high and and then you roll over to 102 on big volume. It'd be interesting to see if there's follow through. Huh?
Isn't it interesting? Because that would tell me there were a lot of people waiting for that to sell.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's a kind of big volume to have a reversal on.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't know. I've never traded the stock, but I would treat it as if it was a part of the Nasdaq 100. I know it's definitely in the Nasdaq composite. So if it starts to go, because they sell baskets of all of the participants, all of what's in there, particularly in the Nasdaq 100, it will participate in downside if it's in the 100.
This next one is a fairly new issue, AI.
Yes,
and had a big day today, up about $18, and volume was over 4 million. So
it's kind of tough because this off of the low that it saw in the beginning of January, it truly is not real bullish in terms of, yes, it's got great moves and these are great in, you know, daily moves, but the overall pattern tells me no. Now, does that mean that it's not going to get back up, maybe even get to a new high above 184? No, it does not mean that. It just tells me that it's not a real bullish move, and it could be because it's a new issue. It's only been around for less than a year. But I would not be a big fan of moving in on this stock unless you've got some good fundamental analysis on it that's kind of telling you. But again, if it's a part of any index or any ETF, then you kind of got to pay attention to the moves in that ETF or that index, because it'll participate along with. Obviously, this is news driven, so they must have come out with something. But we get spikes in both directions, so I get a little uncomfortable. But here we are again. All the moving averages are pointing higher.
Yeah.
So until it starts to break down at least below that, then you might get a little bit bigger of a correction. But this is kind of telling me that, you know, that's the first leg down, little bounce higher. Maybe we get another leg down. Looks like it should hold at least not too much below that 8-day moving average. And if that's the case, then it's got another leg up.
Yeah, it looks like it wants to go after that 184 maybe, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
In its current position on an hourly chart.
It doesn't look like it's a company that's trading off of, valuation. So it's one of those things very popular now, obviously, is don't worry about valuations, just worry about momentum and order flow.
There you go.
This next one.
The momentum is starting to kick lower. But again, it's an hourly chart, folks. So it could reach 184 in a day. So,
yeah, well, it was up $12 today.
There you go.
Yeah. This next one struck a deal with IBM. I guess IBM wants to become more relevant in the current environment. So this is Palantir. And this one obviously came out and has gone from 9 to 45, then pulled back to 30 area. And now it's trying to go back up. And
I don't find a lot of strength in it, though, to be honest with you. I like the position of all the moving averages. They're definitely still, everything we're looking at thus far, the moving averages continue to rule in terms of it's not going to come down. It's not pointing in that direction. So if we feel that it is, which it can, this could be first leg down, bounce back up, which is the intervening rally. Then you get another leg down. Normally it would be the same size as the first one. That would be the most common. And that's 39 to, so you look at it like $4, it can get down to 34, which would be perfect. Maybe even 3 down to the 50. That would be a very wholesome correction and set the stage for this stock to turn. But correct me if I'm wrong, but does not Palantir also have a lot of government contracts?
Yeah, I think they're into a lot of stuff. That's why I'm saying it could be a very good company to just put away and forget about, because they've got a good story and the trends are all up on the moving averages. And 27 is the 50 day, 200 days at 20. So obviously at 40, it's extended, but there's a reason why it's extended, because people are getting into the concept of what these guys are going to do 1, 2, 3, 5 years down the road.
Right. And again, look at the options, that's usually, it can be a really nice way. And particularly I'd be looking at the options to see what is the volatility in the options? What is the rank, the IV rank, implied vol rank? If it's low, then it's a buy. If the IV rank is high, then I'd be looking like, they're too uncertain. They're a little nervous. But I would go over and look at the options to help me decide, do I want it or do I want to wait?
These guys are developing a very attractive and, high profile customer list. So
Palantir, yes, I agree. So, what I do like what they're doing in terms of, earnings is government contracts.
Yeah.
Because the space that they're in is defense. So they could be in the cybersecurity. They could be in a lot of defense contracts for a lot of different things. And having worked in a space case where government contracts, that's what we were bidding on, they pay extremely well.
Yeah, and that's why Boeing could never stay underneath 100 during the drop, even though they had four football fields of unsold planes. But they had the defense contracts, and people who realized that said, "There's no way I'm selling Boeing under 100. Give me the, I'll buy it at 100. It's going to go back up to 200 or 300."
Right.
Next guy on the list here is Telephone. Dividend player, but what else is it good for? Is that like the song War? You know, what is War good for? Absolutely nothing. What's AT&T good for? The dividend, and absolutely nothing.
Right? But I have to tell you, if we really had to finish that song right now, they're saying absolutely nothing. I have been reading some articles that I don't know the strength of the analysis, but they're just saying that the stock is dead. Now, it's too big to be dead.
Yeah.
So, like so many of our huge corporations in our country, when somebody's saying dead, it could just mean it's going to drop back to 20. It may drop back. Let me pull that out a little bit. We can see how
they
got to
do something. Did they sell DirecTV? I'm not certain. If they didn't sell DirecTV,
I don't think they have.
Maybe they could get something going on that. You know,
I think they still have it, to be honest with you. But here you go. Here are the lows from last October. Here are the lows from COVID, from last March of 2020. The low was 26. We're at 28.
DirecTV is still a subsidiary of AT&T. Since 2015.
Thank you. And DirecTV's coming out with some, they're trying to push it, so they're trying to do it. But look how flat this whole little move is. Now, that tells me that it's still got one more leg down. But I'll tell you what, I'm not a big fan of AT&T, but as a technical trader, as a trader, I'd be looking to scoop up. What do I got here at the top? Let's say 32, and that bottom is 28. $4. It's going to come down maybe to 25. Okay, comes down towards the lows again.
T-Mobile seems to be the hep place to go for your telephone needs, and maybe Verizon. With AT&T paying you over 7% dividend, and if you think they have a reasonable chance of participating in 5G and making some money, the moving averages are all, the 50 and the 200 day are coming in all about the same price, 28, 29, 30. So anywhere between 28 and 30, where it's trading now, if they do dump it under 28, I think that's a problem. But I think if it can hang in this 27 to 30 area. And actually, this would be one you'd almost wait for momentum on, maybe, huh?
I agree. But I actually would be looking for additional downside. And again, because this is in the major indexes, it will not escape. And if it gets going hard enough, it's going to drop. But again, $4 is $4, no matter how you want to look at it. And whether you get in at 25, you get in at 28, is a determination of an entry and an exit. But I would not think it's going to go much further than these lows. Maybe put in a new low, but I would be surprised.
Well, the dividend protects you on the downside to about 26 and a half ballpark area.
Yeah.
And so do you see much possibility of going underneath 26 and a half from the charts? Or?
No, I don't. And let's open this up even more. I'm going to go out to the weekly. Look at the weekly. I have to go all the way back again. Here we are, 26.
Is that a head and shoulder where the shoulder's breaking down?
Yeah, a little bit. And I'm going to pull out to the monthly. And if we continue to look, we got to go all the way back to 2002 or 3 to see where it dropped below 20.
You know what might get people into this thing and maybe increase their profitability if they cut that silly dividend from 7 and change down to something like 3? And then, of course, anybody who owns it for the dividend would sell the stock. But where would they go? If they want a dividend, 3.5 is still pretty reasonable. And that's right. half of what they're paying. And Lord knows a company like AT&T, how much is 3.5%? How much is half of that dividend payment?
Right.
Probably pretty big.
Now, I also want to show that this stock has basically been going down since July. It's had some nice rallies, but it's basically going down since July. And it fell hard in March, but that was COVID. But look at the moving averages. The 200 sits here, basically is held flat, and the 20s now dip below. The 50's still above it. The 100's still above it. If it starts to turn higher, it'll push these other moving averages very quickly.
Yeah.
And then it is off to the races. So that's, again, I know, Jim, that you talk about it, but I'm going to continue to add it. I keep my eye long-term, keep your eye on the moving averages. It's going to tell you what's really happening.
Yeah, if you see 30 or 31, you'd be in a lot better shape than when you see it here, because the 50 is under the 200 day. So that's the negative cross they all talk about. And we're trading underneath both averages only marginally.
Right.
But if the next leg is down, maybe there's a real problem over here that we're not aware of.
You know? that's what somebody keeps saying. But right now, that's the 100 is the purple one. This, the lighter purple, is the 200. So the 50's not quite under it yet. It could be. You're absolutely right. We get another serious down day and it would likely drop.
But they got that Paul Singer guy in there, and he from Elliott Management. So they're not dummies. You would think that they would know maybe how to rearrange things, but I'm sure they have losses as well as gains like everybody else.
Yeah, I agree.
But Elliott Management and Paul are
they've really built out their fiber optic network. It's pretty much coast to coast. They are 5G. I actually have AT&T 5G and it is not bad. So I'm not sure why they're continuing to pound on the stock, other than maybe they're just, you know, building up cash. I have no idea, but I leave room for the downside, but you're going to have to like the stock. I don't see.
Like I say, having that guy in there, you're thinking that there's some good minds trying to figure it out. And like Carl Icahn was into Freeport MacMoran. So when it was at $5 or $10, you know, one of the things you could say to yourself is this guy 100% wrong on this? Or is it a deal where if I'm patient, it'll come back? Same thing with Occidental Petroleum. You know, that went down, it looked terrible. And Buffett, I guess, has still some kind of a position in there.
Right.
And
you're right. I mean, it's a big corporation. So I put it in the same category as Ford, General Motors, blah, blah, blah. It's like they got a lot of money. They got to do some changes. They're going to make some turns. They got to do things a little bit differently. But once they do, boom. So if you're for the long term and you're getting a dividend, well, you know, trade it accordingly.
Yeah. This next one, people are saying you should buy it in this 140, 150 range because it is going to do well. I think they had a chip shortage, which is going to hurt their sales. And so even though they had a monster quarter, it was a sell the fact kind of deal. A sell the fact has been going on a lot through this stuff.
Yeah.
But Qualcomm, QCOM.
Yeah.
Obviously a big winner, 58 to 167 in the last year.
Yes.
But definitely got whacked after earnings because of, I think, that announcement that their chip shortage or something like that.
And, you know, AMD kind of scooped to their glory, I think, on that front. The monthly sits and still in a good position. You can see it's come down. This is only a four day, which on a monthly chart, they're not going to have a whole lot of play. But look what it did. Came down and held it. And here's the 8 and here's the 20. They're nicely spaced, which continues to point higher. But again, Qualcomm is in the NASDAQ 100. It is in the NASDAQ composite. I don't know if it's in the Russell, but I know it's in the other two.
And I see a gap on my chart between 130 and 140. Are you showing any gap between 130 and 140 ballpark area?
Let me go down to the daily and we can see. Yes. Boom. There it is. Yes.
So I don't know. Is it going to be weak enough to get into that 130, 140 range?
This one. It's kind of starting to come in and try to fill that gap. And on this first look, 1, 2, 3, a little 4, 5, not fill it, but they'll get into it.
Yeah. Maybe one of those halfway ins.
Like maybe down to this 140, 141.
Yeah.
If it drops all the way down to the 200, that would be serious. And my stochastic and momentum is not indicating that it will.
Yeah, the momentum is acting as if we're not that far from a turn.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Yeah, that's already saying 140, 150 was a place to play ball on this thing from the long side.
Yeah. And how you want to play it? Well, that's up to each individual, I suppose. But yeah, it doesn't look bad. So
yeah, I mean, during a drop, you know, put writing, fully cash protected put writing is to be considered sometimes, because during a drop, the implied volatility picks up on the puts, which means they're very fat. So you can pick a strike price you can sleep with and get a discount on it by selling the put and agreeing to buy the stock at the strike less the premium.
Right. You know, you might like the 130, 135.
Mm-hmm. And then even do a reverse collar if you want. Take that premium and buy a call on the upside if you start thinking it's going the other way. So a lot of stuff you can do.
Yes.
And of course, not one strategy is right for everybody, that's for sure.
Well, that's what I'm going to tell you. That's why they call you the option professor.
That's right. I know the strategies. Let's talk about 3M.
Haven't looked at a chart of Minnesota mining in quite some time. And I want
now, to is this, I'm going to ask you a question. Is this setting up as a 1-2-3 formation to the downside? You topped out at 187. You came down at 175. You rallied and failed. And if it takes out 175, shouldn't it be good night, Irene?
Pretty much. Yes. Look at this monthly. Yes. It's already come. This is COVID. And while the NASDAQ, while the Dow, while the S&P have all soared to new all-time highs, this thing has only gotten back halfway. So yes, good night, nurse. That's the point that you made the point for me, but that was going to be my point. For whatever reason, they're not trusting Triple M or 3M. And so I don't, I don't like it. I would be looking to take advantage of rallies and buying puts.
It pays a good dividend. So obviously that's the reason people hold on to it. And then the moving averages are positive, 169 and 162 on the 50 and the 200. So, you know, it could just be, it might just have a pullback into that 160, 165 area. And maybe if it holds there, then, that would be a place to add if you like it long-term. See, these stocks that pay like 327 are interesting to people because, you know, when you go to money market, you get zero. And so they're looking for equity exposure with a dividend in some cases. That's why value and some of these other ones have started to pick up some legs.
I know that they did announce a dividend. It just says paid yet.
Yeah, well, I'm showing 327. That's not 100% accurate, but I'm just saying it looks like it pays a healthy dividend. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, because lately it's been the same. $1.47, $1.47, $1.47. So that would be a double. That would be doubling their dividend. And that could be why the stock has kind of pushed higher. So,
well, the banks have been very, very popular in the next one that's coming up. And they had a nice run because of a steepening of the yield curve, something we talked about in our weekly newsletter since 9 months ago. We said the yield curve was going to steepen and you want to get long the banks because the banks can make money with a steepening yield curve. That's and the Fed is not going to fight that part of the, in other words, if short-term rates went up dramatically, then they would come in and clamp that down because they want people stuck in money market with no interest.
Right.
But they're not that concerned that the twos and the 30s or the twos and the tens expand because they know that that's good for businesses like the banks.
I don't disagree with that analogy.
Yeah.
But here I went out and before we started the show and I threw some Fibonacci's on this. Again, for me, folks, a lot of things that I'm really basing upside on is this COVID decline that we had back in March of 2020. Now, what made that so strong to stand out, it was only 3 weeks. Basically 3 weeks, these markets lost massive. So, of course, Bank of America, all the banks participated going down. Bank of America really nosedived off of 36 back to 18. So it basically halved itself. And now it's kind of now showing me where it can really come back. If I go out to the monthly, I'll show you all the fibs that I put on. So my first fib that I put on was for the major collapse that Bank of America did, which was during the financial crisis in 2008, 2009. Here, we went from 55 down to, what was it, $2.53. They almost went out of business, right? They were looking for buyers. So what we're really looking at off of this is nothing more than just an ABC corrective bounce. This is on my monthly chart. But if I start to bring it down, I'm thinking it still looks the same way. But here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that we get back, we're going to find resistance at 36.10, but we got some stiffer resistance. Let me go back, which would put it at 35.20. And that's only a 62% retracement off of the bigger drop that we saw.
Yeah, this would be one if you got a correction in the overall market and they pulled it back to 30 bucks or 26 bucks where the moving averages are. Yeah. That would be the better time to start entertaining it because the volume seems to be drying up a bit. The 200-day average volume is 61 million shares a day. The 50-day moving average of volume is only 49 million shares a day. So as the price has gotten higher, the volume is thinning out. And today's volume was only 35 million. So does that mean that participation is tired? Because what I just said about the steepening of the yield curve and the banks can make money, this is no secret anymore. So if you thought that was a good idea, you probably already bought.
I agree. Let me put this to you because here's what I am witnessing. And this is, again, in the indexes, which all the banks participate in. But it just seems that we're not getting the oomph from buyers and sellers moving in. So it kind of just sits and creeps up a little, down a little, up a little, down a little without any real volume. So I'm kind of interpreting that as that traders and big firms and big hedge funds and big, everybody, they're okay with the positions that they have and they're waiting for something to give them their clue or their reason to move next. And I feel so strongly that this is what's happening because here we saw, like you mentioned, as we were getting ready to start, the indexes sold off in that last half hour, last 15 minutes, sold pretty dramatically. Guess what, Jim? After, they took it all the way back up.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, I don't know. It's kind of in that weird zone. I'm not sure what they're waiting. If a it's going to be a political news or if it's going to be corporate news or if it's going to be interest rate news. There's so many things that are just kind of sitting out there. We're waiting for additional information because of the change of the administrations. I don't know. But I think B of A has a solid chance of going up and finishing this advance, but probably getting stuck between 35 and 36.
Yeah, I mean, I think over time they'll need more of their earnings and we'll have to see how the coming out party is when the COVID is more under control. But B of A should be there. That's why it is a bull market in the banks. And it is a situation where there is a lot of runway left if we do come out with the kind of strong recovery that people are saying with all this pent up demand.
Right.
But, pent up demand might be.
What do we call them? Focus groups within Bank of America. And they're constantly asking me what I think, but that's to new products. So I know they're actively looking for ways to kind of boost themselves in terms of new product.
But is the refi market kind of petering out? Because if you really wanted to do a refi, you probably have done it already.
You already did it, yes.
And then the real estate purchases and things like that, other things that they're doing. I think the main thing with those banks also, their loan losses are so large that if the loan losses don't come in, that's an awful lot of capital. Plus, these banks are also going to be doing some buybacks, it looks like, right?
Yes. But speaking for real estate, I cannot speak for outside of the San Francisco Bay Area, which is where I live. And you and I have discussed this before, Jim. They are the median price homes. I think it's like $1.5 million, $1.6 million here in the city of San Francisco. They're not buying those. They're buying $15 million homes.
Right.
So go figure. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, a lot of the people are in the tech industry. You can see what happened to QQQ.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so you know that they're making a lot of money in QQQ. So they're just rolling that money into a property. But next one up is you, not the University of Miami, Unity Software. Up today pretty nicely, but it is coming off of a pretty sharp drop. But there's a tail there. And is that going to be a low surrounded by higher lows and maybe get a reversal?
That tail to me is a topping tail. The two before were not necessarily bottoming tails, but that one, because it sold off. I mean, if it takes it all back tomorrow, which it might, because here we have the daily and the momentum sitting down here at the rock bottom. So, and that's reflective of what it's done the last couple of days. So it obviously didn't like the earnings. It's still not making money. But software is huge. And I don't know which type of software they're making, but today was a nice rally. Today was a good rally. And if they can follow through with that, then yes. And you can see it's sitting right at the 100. Now, what do you got downside? It drops to the 200.
I have the 200 day at about 123. So you're only $5 off of that. What's the low been on the drop? Anyone?
Why mine's so different than yours. If I go down, what's the time frame on your chart?
Daily.
I was on the daily as well. It's kind of interesting because we should all be the same. And sometimes I see we're not. Mine's
pretty close. Where are you at on the 200?
108.
108. Okay. Well, anyway, we know that 108 or 123 is the 200. And
I like 123 better.
right. Higher line in the sand.
Then I think it's definitively a stronger buy.
It hasn't been around very long. Volume is just going nuts. I mean, this thing was trading 2.6 million shares on average 50 day. Today it was like 11.7 million. So there's a lot of people swinging the bat on this one.
I wonder if there was news. It doesn't indicate, but I wonder if there was some news on it today.
It did get whacked pretty hard from the 177 down to 125.
It did. But I think we saw the weak hands leave.
Is that momentum hard to turn, do you think? Because that momentum has broken, obviously.
On a daily, it's a little bit bigger ship to turn. But if it gets going, no. But you can see on a $3+ rally today, if it was up higher than that, it didn't do much. See, it didn't do much.
All right, this next one up is obviously the poster child of the COVID thing, and that's Zoom, ZM. And one thing I heard from somebody who runs the airlines and are in that business was saying that it's going to be 80-20, meaning 20% of business travel is not going to come back because they're going to get everything done with Zoom. But the other 80% will be coming back because there is some stuff that you really can't do on Zoom in certain businesses. Like, if you want to show somebody your product, maybe it's a little more difficult to ship it to them. And are you going to ship it to everyone? Like if you did a convention at the Javits Center in New York, how many people attend? 50,000 or something like that? Are you really going to send out 50,000 prototypes of your product for them to look? So there's some things that would probably have to come back because the business and the arrangement between the buyer and seller has to be more hands-on or whatever?
So with that in mind,
Zoom still has a business.
Zoom still does have a business. Okay. And a lot is, like you've mentioned before, a lot will depend on how quickly this country, and in turn the globe, can get to herd immunity in terms of COVID.
Right.
If that should occur and we start to see the economy open more in terms of now they are filling the Javits Center, now they are filling the Moscone Center in San Francisco, and Oracle World happens and Dreamforce happens, boom, Zoom cooked.
Yeah,
But I think that the bloom is off the rose on this one. This is a very clean, again, this is a daily chart. It's a very clean A, B, C. And look at that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The C wave is 5. It fits, it's clean. I have an overbought market. Momentum is peaking and it's a good $130 off its high. And
yeah, these guys should be issuing stock to raise money and then basically try to find partnerships that would enhance them or try to monetize better what they've got going already. Because they've got a tremendous amount of users there that could...
That's true, but I don't think they have the personnel...
to figure that out.
I hate to say that, but that comes with a little bit.
That's why you hire people, right?
Exactly. Yes. And you hire people that are my age.
All right. We got L Brands up next. And L Brands also went nuts this year, going from $8 to $51. It's now trading at around $48.49. So it's really right on the highs. The question is there a divergence between the high we're seeing now on RSI and the high we made a little bit ago at 47? Because it was 47 ballpark area high, and then it makes a new high now.
On mine, it got to the exact same level, but it's turning.
Okay.
So... but let me go up one.
But that's an hourly?
No, that was a daily.
Okay.
Here's the weekly. The weekly, you see what I'm finding interesting for a stock like Limited Brands. And again, I'm not sure what their product is, but isn't this food?
I thought it was clothing.
It could be, but a multiple. So they must be doing a barn burning online business. But again, here's the COVID lows. And that's what we're kind of doing right now. We're just really counting everything off of these COVID lows. And while again, the index, now again, if this is more, you know, clothing retail, I can see why, and it's done real well to get where it is. But indexes have gone to new all-time highs. This is working on pushing back to 50%, only a 50% retracement off of the lows from its high, which was pre-COVID, way pre-COVID. I have to go out to the monthly. Limited Brands topped in 2015. Okay, so from 2015, and then COVID forced it all the way back down. It's only got a 50% retracement, which is not uncommon. In fact, that would be one. And then max would be like up here at 62%, which is at 65, let's call it 65 3/4, or, you know, 5/8.
L Brands runs Victoria's Secret and Bath and Body Works. So you're probably not using their products. That's why you're not familiar with them.
There you go. but somebody is, and here we sit. And I don't know. If you want an opinion on the stock, I would say, if you want to stay long, start buying puts. And otherwise, get out and maybe sell your stock and buy a call, if that's what you're thinking. So you can capture additional upside and you're not really risking a whole lot of capital. But this stock does not, it doesn't look good to me.
And it's got a lot of real estate between the 200-day average and where it is. So,
yes,
and exactly. Let's see, the volume's drying up a little bit too. It's gone from the 200-day average was 6 million shares a day. The 50-day average was 4.4 million shares a day. And now you're looking at 3.6 million shares today.
Right. And the stock was down 3.5% today versus the S&P, which was higher, and the Dow, which was barely lower. So yeah, this dropped greater than the indexes. So I think it might be done.
Now this next one, everybody who I talked to has loved anytime it was in the 40s and 50s, and they definitely thought it was going up because it was a very low price to book. This is Citigroup.
And now
they actually thought it was a fabulous purchase, and they were right, you know, and again, it's all in the theme of a steepening yield curve and improving situations.
Right, yeah. Right, but let's take a look at this monthly chart. This shows the massive decline that we got in 2007, 2008, 2009. We all thought that Citigroup was going to go out of business. Because look at this thing. It dropped from the high 500s down to $9.70.
And then they reverse split like 300 to 1 or something?
They may have. And of course, that also kind of comes in here. It would would be written down here somewhere, but I don't necessarily see that, irregardless of what it did.
Yeah, if you go and look at the long-term chart that goes back, say, 20 years, 30 years,
that's what
the stock peaked out at 500 and change,
yeah.
And then it went down to a very low price, and that's where it's been going.
That's
I think they did some kind of a split or some mumbo-jumbo at that point.
They did a reverse. Could have been, but that I think that may have even come out around in here somewhere, which gave it a boost. But interesting, it has done a nice recovery. Here's COVID. I'm going to throw, because that's what we're doing lately, we're taking a look to see what upside potential may still be available.
I see a little gap that happened when it gapped down in February, I guess. And that really come in around 75 area. And I thought that was a likely target if it takes out 70 on the upside, maybe having some trouble at 75.
It's actually right there. There's the start of the gap. See that? And now, yeah. And it's, but to me, it's having trouble here.
Yeah.
So that does 62%. It reached that. It's sitting right at it right now. Yeah. I mean, what do we got? We got the next one above is 67.30-ish. And above that, it's back up to those pre-COVID highs at 82. I don't see that right now. I don't see that with what I think can be happening. I see a lot of movement. They're coming in and out, you know, and they are doing that because of interest rates. And they're going to continue to do it. And Citigroup participates. But I don't know. I wouldn't be holding.
Well, they got a nice line in the sand there at 56 and a half or 57.
Yes.
That's a very good line in the sand. If you started taking that out, you'd have to start saying that the bloom is changing off the rose.
Right.
Otherwise, taking a look to see if it'll go up towards that 75, 80 area is not off the cards either.
No, it's not. And you're right about that. But one thing to add to what you said, if it starts to drop down and starts to break these moving averages, you kind of have to look at, let's say, 69.50 down to 57. So you got about $12. If it drops $12 off of here, you're down to 51. So you're going to drop back to this level. And that would be nothing more than just an ABC down.
Which could be the end of the drop.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
This next one, Workhorse, has a high surrounded by, that's WKHS. That has a high surrounded by lower highs now on the daily graph. And yeah. I'm wondering if there's a potential for a reversal here, because this thing is, anytime it's over 100% above the 200-day average, you know, you have to take out your coffee and get some coffee in you, you know?
Yes.
But this does have huge short interest, 27, almost 28% short interest.
And that's why it's sitting up there.
And that's why it's, they're squeezing them. Yeah.
They're trying to squeeze them. I don't know if they'll win, because it depends on who's holding that short,
right.
And from what level. But I'm going to agree with you. I'm looking, this is again the daily. Your daily momentum is absolutely flat. That's kind of reflective in what the stock is actually doing. I mean, it's got a pretty tight range, you know, and okay, we got that. Let me see something. No, it's got a $4 range and maybe $3.50 range. So no big deal in terms of ranges. But yeah, I think as long as it held the 8, which is important, but I think it's an easy drop, because don't forget, if this starts to go, those shorts ain't going to step in.
Right. All right. We're coming to the top of the hour, Michael. Let's get them information on how to get a hold of you. And obviously we didn't get into a lot of the things you actually think on other markets, because we covered the whole list. So yeah. If people want to hear what you think about stocks and gold and everything else, how do they get a hold of you?
Michael@logicalsignals.com. If I can get the time put together, and that's really the quiet time, I will start posting additional analysis, and you can find that on tradershelpingtraders.com. You can also check out there if you want to just have a discussion about the analysis, or want me to particularly analyze a particular stock. I can do that in a myriad of ways. If you send me an email, we can talk about that. We can talk about a particular stock, an index, whatever you choose. I mean, I have analyzed and did Elliott Wave on the cheddar cheese market, and I kid you not.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael@logicalsignals.com. I always answer my emails, so please feel free to drop me a line.
Great. And as far as optionprofessor.com, just go to our website, optionprofessor.com, put your email in, and you'll get our weekly update. We go over things that create income, like bonds and dividend producing stocks and REITs and other things. So if you need income, we go over that. We go over growth, which is like your QQQ QQQs and the semis and the other value areas that have been very good to us, also creating income. And we also go over speculation, things like the crude oil market, the gold market, silver, platinum, copper, and even things like soybeans and sugar. So we watch the whole gauntlet to get a lot of information free of charge by signing up for the newsletter, optionprofessor.com. Back to David at 501.
All right. Thanks, guys. Another great show. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to this show as soon as I can get it posted, as well as any of the previous shows. If you did not see yesterday's show, Michael and the Option Professor did their 2021 full year market, longer term analysis. So be sure to check out that one if you missed that. That was Crowd Forecast News for February 9th. So I just want to thank my guests again today for today, Michael Filiguera of TradersHelpingTraders.com and the Option Professor of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.